And you are listening to WUSB Stony Brook. It's time now for Off the Wall, in a special program recorded last December that documents a cross-country train voyage to Seattle and the historic occasion that awaited us there. Here I am, sitting in my car, about to start a cross-country trip. Not in my car. I'm actually driving to a friend's house, and then we're driving to the train station. And then I'm taking a rush hour commuter train into New York City, which is when I will then catch, well, it's not a cross-country train there either. It's a train actually down to D.C., but that connects to another train that goes to Chicago. And then from there, I get on the final train to Seattle. So it's a cross-country trip of sorts, but it's kind of zigzaggedy. But, you know, it's a great feeling just sitting here getting ready to start. I've never done this before. I realize I've never actually set off on a cross-country train trip from New York before. I've come to New York from California on a train, but never gone the other way. So the first part, I got to start this car. And as you can see, that's not exactly the easiest thing in the world. This car is going to be 20 years old next month, and I think it's tired of being a car. So anyway, I don't want to be late, so I'm going to put all this recording apparatus away and head to this rush hour train, which promises to be a circus in and of itself, and I'll try to report back. All right, made it to the rush hour train. This is the train that doesn't stop at Huntington and keeps going all the way into the city. I'm not sure how it does that because it's a double-decker train. Supposedly they aren't allowed in Penn Station, but this one is because they got special permission or something. Yeah, it's supposed to be a little bit faster. So instead of taking twice as long as driving, it takes 1.5 times as long as driving. Here with my friend Chris, who used to be on the radio, and in a tragic turn lost his voice. That's no voice at all. Isn't that right, Chris? And that's him nodding. This is what happens sometimes when people do too much radio. They sort of get radioed out. Anyway, it's still dark out. On our way to Penn Station, where I have a 2-hour layover in New York City, which maybe I'll try to take in some of the sights of New York. I'll walk around the block and look at the Hotel Pennsylvania. And then I'm getting on a train down to Washington, D.C., an Amtrak train. So that'll be fun. We are arriving in Smithtown now, I believe. I'm waiting for an announcement so we can... No announcement. Oh.
605 train to New York. King's Cross, Northport, Greenland, Jamaica, Penn Station.
Yeah, you see, so I didn't make it up. Actually, I'm on this train. Now, of course, I want to hear the annoying sound. God, I hate that noise. I like the two buzzers. That's old school. That means close the door, or it means the door is closed. You can move the train now. That's really what that means, the two buzzers. They do that on subways, too, sometimes. Chris is nodding vigorously. He agrees with everything I'm saying, but he just doesn't want to say anything on the radio. Well, okay. You know, imagine if everybody across country is going to be like this. I'll just be talking to myself the whole time. Not very unusual for me. All right, well, we're going to continue. As soon as I turn this off, though, we'll have a very jubilant conversation, I'm sure. Okay. I could leave it on, you know, not tell you, but I wouldn't do that. Onwards. So I've arrived at Penn Station. I'm actually standing in a very special place. I'm standing in the payphone kiosk where there are maybe a couple of dozen phones, all of which are not being used because people don't use payphones anymore. But they left this whole room here with a bunch of phones. And I've run into my good friend Voltaire here.
Hello.
What are you doing at Penn Station at 7 o'clock in the morning on a Monday?
Playing with payphones.
Actually, we arranged to meet here. We have some private business to take care of. But we are watching all the commuters going by. They look so intent, even the ones on crutches. They really are moving fast. They have this wild look in their eyes. My train ride in was pretty painless. My friend who I rode with, who didn't want to say anything on the radio, knew exactly where to go on the train so that nobody would try and sit near us. There's apparently this small group of four chairs. The rest of the train was packed, but I was totally unaware of what was going on the rest of the train. It was basically just a very quick ride. What's with the soldiers? I see soldiers everywhere. I've never seen that many.
Yeah, it's apparently they only do that for Amtrak. They don't do that for airports or anything.
Well, the New Jersey Transit has some soldiers too, and I guess LIRR might warrant a few. But I mean, I've been to the Amtrak part of Penn Station before. I've never seen this many. Is it maybe just a rush hour thing, or did they increase it?
It's spooky. I commuted a lot less in the past summer, and during the morning there was just a ton of them. It was very scary.
Well, I'm trying to figure out the point. I mean, what do they do exactly? You can I keep almost running into them, not because they're dressed in camouflage, that does nothing, but because they're everywhere and they're moving so slowly. And in New York, you got to move fast. I don't know who's going to tell them that. But what could they do? I mean, they're not going to start shooting people in a crowded train station. Are they good at negotiating tactics? Or I don't know what they are for. I don't understand it.
They're for making paranoid people feel safe and for the rest of the people from getting pissed.
Well, I'm a paranoid person. I feel more paranoid now.
But you're not the type of paranoid that they're looking for. They're type.
I'm not in their demographic.
No, this is the paranoid type that wants to see their government spend money on x-ray systems and stuff like that.
You know, do you think we could grab one and talk to them? Oh, there's one staring at us over there. Look at that guy. He looks like a Klingon.
Which one?
The one with his folded arms, just like kind of staring.
He's staring at the ground.
Oh, he's staring at the ground. I thought he was staring at us. Okay, I misunderstood where his head was.
Yeah.
But still, he looks scary. He looks like a formidable opponent.
He does.
And, yeah, I don't intend to make him my opponent, but, boy, that would be something. Yeah, it doesn't make me feel any safer. It makes me feel more apprehensive. And when I was in Paris and I saw people walking around with machine guns, you know, in soldiers' uniforms, didn't make me feel any better. These guys, they don't seem to have machine guns. They have little pouches. Like, and you notice those pouches in the front? What are those for? What's in them? It's awfully weird.
I don't know, first aid kits?
By their chest. Is that where you keep a first aid kit? Interesting. It's great that we could just stay here in the phone room and nobody will bother us. It was just a mass of people walking by. Authorized personnel only, no trespassing. Amtrak Police Department. Are we trespassing? No, these are public phones. We're standing by public phones. How could you trespass by a payphone? I guess if you set up camp here maybe and slept here maybe. I don't know. Well, it's weird. But I don't think if we are trespassing, we'll move someplace so we're not. But no, we're in a public train station by public payphones. We couldn't get more public than this. So I wanted to go upstairs, or by upstairs, I mean outside, because it's kind of crazy out there. You went this way? You went outside?
No, I've only been downstairs.
Well, it's pretty aggressive because this is where the LIRR, Long Island Railroad, lets out. Everyone goes up the stairs to the 7th Avenue exit. And it's actually where the Hotel Pennsylvania is. It's just very crowded, very busy, and a lot of people are basically hawking things. So let's leave this dead room where nobody is going to come for the entire day and go outside where everybody is right now.
Okay, sounds good.
All right, well, here we are upstairs now, outside on the corner of 32nd and 7th. This is the street where everybody just comes out of Penn Station and walks down the middle of the street because they don't care. And we're right at the top of the escalator where people are really aggressively giving out those free papers. Well, they're giving out different ones, aren't they?
Yeah.
These are competing people.
Yeah, we have Metro and AM New York.
Metro and AM New York. This is where it comes to a head. They're right next to each other. And handing them out to anybody. I don't know what she's saying.
Come on, AM New York.
Oh, that's what she's saying. Come on.
Yeah, we have military again.
Oh, dear. Okay. Mum's the word. Three of them just walking right past us quietly. Everything appears to be in order here. All right. Good. I'm tempted to laugh. It's silly. It really is silly. They're trying to be intimidating, and well, they are a little bit, but I don't know. I mean, what's wrong with the good old-fashioned NYPD?
How about neither?
Well, okay, fine. But, you know, it's better than both, is having one.
Yeah.
I mean, well, maybe one could watch out after the other. I don't know. But in any event, let's not let that detract us. So we're here actually right across the street from Hotel Pennsylvania, and this is the scene at a little after 8 o'clock in the morning on a Monday. Everybody bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, ready to go to work again for another full week of agony.
Yeah.
We're so lucky that we don't do this.
Yeah, this is the first time I've been offered a purchase of free newspaper in a while, and that tells me that I'm up way too early. So.
They don't offer these free newspapers the rest of the day?
No.
Why not? Wouldn't they get rid of more if they did that?
Because there's less foot traffic, so it's not worth the payoff.
I guess, and it is AM New York, too.
Yeah.
So you can't read that in the PM.
Yeah.
I guess that sort of limits your audience. But that... No idea what she's saying, but...
Yeah, I wonder what the audition process is like for these people. It must be like an American Idol audition getting... Because all the people that are giving them out are so enthusiastic about it, and I almost feel bad for them. They have to shout at the top of their lungs the whole morning.
Well, I just wonder what the incentive is. I mean, they're free. They're not taking in any money. I guess basically they have to get rid of all their papers before they go back to the office.
The advertising, I guess.
Yeah, but I mean, it's not like they're seeing any of that. They're just giving out the paper. You know, I guess they're just doing a good job of what they do.
Yeah.
Of course, you got the Salvation Army guy with his bell, or a woman actually with her bell.
She has it easy.
Yeah, this is December. I'm not sure when this is going to air, but this is December. What is this? The 3rd of December, 2012.
Yeah.
And so I have another hour and change to kill before I get on my Amtrak train to Washington, D.C. But, you know, it's a good way to wake me up, because I've been up all night. So just being outside in the air and having all these people shouting in my direction, that can wake you up.
Yeah. Neither of us had coffee this morning, so.
Neither of us had what?
Coffee yet.
How did you know? Yes, I have not had any coffee.
Yeah.
Shall we fix that?
Yes, I think so.
Well, we have some choices. There's a Tim Horton across the street. There's a Starbucks. There's a Dunkin' Donut.
Yeah, I believe there's also a Starbucks on the bottom floor.
So there's a bottom floor Starbucks, there's a street Starbucks, there's an avenue Starbucks, and I think that's it as far as Starbucks. Oh, no, there's also the Broadway Starbucks.
Okay.
How could you leave this remarkably tranquil area here? All right, I'm going
to
try.
I have to warn you, D.C. will have just as many Starbucks.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. I'm not sure I'll be in the mood for that. I'm sort of losing it because I've been up all night, and here I am standing with all these like people rushing around and just feeling kind of slow. But soon I'll be on a train and I can hopefully relax. Any final words?
Have a nice trip.
Thanks. I'll see what I can do. Well, I'm on the Capital Limited, which is the train from Washington, D.C. to Chicago. I successfully made the trip down to D.C. from New York. Got a lot of work done, relaxed, just sort of meditated for a while. And you can do that on a train. It's really, really relaxing compared to other means of travel, whether you're driving or whether you're flying. It's so much more stressful than just sitting back in a train. So made it to D.C. and had a couple of hours. So I was able to visit a friend at the train station for a couple of hours. It's kind of a cool thing to be able to do. Grabbed some lunch and then got onto the sleeper train, which is also really neat. Right now I'm in my own private room, which, okay, to give you a tour, basically I'd say it's about... Maybe the if you stuck two seats together, or actually imagine a train with a wide row of seats that say stretched maybe 4/5 across the width of the car. That other 1/5 is a corridor where people move from one part of the car to the other. Now you have a door that closes on the inside for your 4/5 of the width of the train car. You have one seat that extends almost that entire width, and then you have about the same amount of space facing that. So I guess it's like having the length of two seats, which doesn't sound like much, but actually when there's nobody else around, it's pretty good. You have space to stretch out, and plus it's this other side where the seat is not. There are other things. For instance, there's I'll show you. It's a little doorway here. And you can go inside. And you have your own private bathroom. Now, it's interesting because it's a toilet, but it's also a shower. I haven't tried this yet. It's a bathroom with a toilet, but there's a shower on top of it. So I guess I guess when you take a shower, the toilet gets pretty wet, which I guess it can handle. It's in the interest of saving space. And basically, well, I don't want to be too provincial here, but basically it's one of those, if you've ever been on the train that has a toilet that flushes, well, it's, here, I'll just press the button. There's three light conditions. The light is off, that means the toilet is ready for use. If it's on, that means wait because a flush is in progress. I don't know why you forget that you hit a flush button and want to flush again, but if it's flashing, that means the thing you want to avoid more than anything else, and that's toilet failure. So let's hope that doesn't happen when we press this button. Wow. Okay. Imagine if your toilet sounded like that at home. A lot of pressure there, and the light is still on. Hopefully that wasn't the one flush that I get. Is that light going to stay on for a long time? It's off. Good. A little worried there. So let's put that down. And we'll close this door. So you have your own little private compartment, which is cool. And then over here, there's a sink with no running water, apparently. Okay. Well, the stopper works. Oh, you have to press. Okay, I was doing it the wrong way. Okay, the water's a little grumpy, but it does work. You have air control, you have lights, you have power. Best of all, though, you have a window. You can just look out and watch the countryside go by. And it's not a lot of space. It's probably about as big as a studio apartment in New York City, but it's enough, you know, considering what you're seeing outside your window. Comparing it to other means of travel, like being on a bus or stuck like a sardine on an airplane, it really is incredibly relaxing. And when you get one of these rooms, you're entitled to all kinds of other things. You can hang out in the elite club for the people who pay the most money, because, well, I guess bedrooms do cost more than seats, so you're treated like a first-class passenger. You get all your meals. You can select what hour you have dinner. Same thing for lunch. I think breakfast is a free-for-all. People just first come, first serve. You can basically define your environment however you want. I have a lot of electronic gizmos. I've got a laptop here, which I can plug in. Can't connect to the internet. I consider that a good thing, though. I don't want to connect to the internet. I want to take this all in and just kind of relax. We don't get to do that enough. But what I do have on my laptop are a bunch of ripped DVDs. Yes, folks, ripped DVDs, because I didn't want to bring a million DVDs with me. So fortunately, I have a nice little program that allows me to rip them and save them to a computer so I can play them at my leisure without having to bring a bunch of DVDs with me. If I already own the DVDs, why in hell would I not be allowed to do that? Well, technically I'm not, but I did it anyway. And if you want to do it, it's a neat little program called Handbrake that does a pretty good job for the most part. And there's others too. And please feel free to write in and we'll be happy to pass that information along in the interest of freedom of exchange of ideas and things like that. Okay, really veered off topic there. So now this train is on its way from Washington. One thing, you know, I picked this up at the customer service desk in New York. That is the Amtrak service timetable. And the reason why that's really good, it has every single train listed, what time it starts and stops and where it goes and everything like that. But it also has a map of the entire country with little red lines indicating where Amtrak goes and where they stop. So that's how you know where you're going. Like right now I can see that we're starting out in Washington, we're heading across Maryland, eventually we'll be stopping in Pittsburgh, and then moving on to Cleveland, and then sometime tomorrow morning we'll be in Chicago. And I can see the route we're taking. The next train I get on after that, that's going to be really interesting. That takes a couple of days, and that goes on the very far northern route of the United States, through North Dakota, Montana, Idaho. You know, it's pretty close to winter, so I don't know what I'll be seeing over there, but it's bound to be pretty interesting. And if I'm in room C right now, so if I'm in room C in the other train, which I am, and if it faces the same way, that means I'll be looking to the right, which means I'll be looking north. Maybe I'll see Canada. It'd be pretty cool, though. So, yeah, this is awesome. I can't recommend this enough. Just being able to sit quietly and do whatever you feel like. Wander around the train if you want, or admire the scenery, sleep, have food, watch videos. It's just so much you can do. That you cannot do on, like I said, those other means of transit. And I worked it out so that I have all these reward points, so it's not even costing me anything. Now, of course, for you to do that, you have to charge a fair amount on your credit card. But, you know, that's what the reward is for doing that over a number of years. So that kind of adds to it. I don't know how much it costs normally. Hopefully it's not too expensive. Hopefully it's this kind of thing everybody can do at least once. And yeah, I really hope there'll be more things like this in the future, that high-speed rail. This is really not high-speed rail. It's probably going about 45 miles an hour. But rail in general, high-speed rail in particular, are things that I think we really need to push for, because it's just such a great way of getting from one place to another. It's also incentive to go places. Like if there was a high-speed rail between two cities, well, maybe people would go to those cities more often, and train stations tend to be in the middle of town, so you don't have to figure out how to get from the airport to wherever it is the action is happening. So it's better for that reason as well. But mostly it's just really something that relaxes you and makes you slow down just a little bit. I know it's kind of a contradiction. If you want high-speed rail, then do you really want to slow down? It is relaxing no matter how fast you're going. I was on the maglev train in China, in Shanghai, and it only lasted a couple of minutes because it was going so damn fast, but it was relaxing too. Well, actually, it was a little terrifying because, well, I'd never gone that fast on land before. And yeah, I know technically I wasn't on land. It was a magnet, but let's please not split hairs. I just have an affinity towards rail travel. I think so many people do. I meet people all the time that just are really fascinated by trains, and I don't know exactly why that is. It just happens. We're arriving someplace. Okay, well, that PA system is so low, I can't make out what he said. But you know what? I have a little guide to this train. I can tell where we are. Okay, we're either at Harper's Ferry, West Virginia. Are we in West Virginia already? How is that possible? Yeah, Harper's Ferry. I just heard him say that. Okay, so, wow. In just an hour, we've gone from Washington, D.C. through Maryland into West Virginia. I really should look at that map and figure out where we're going so quickly. I thought Maryland would be wider, but I guess we're not going down that part of it. Yeah, you know what? I'm not sure this is right. I thought it would take a lot longer to get to West Virginia from here. But then again, it's one of those states that's shaped weird, so yeah, maybe driving north would take longer than down here. Yeah, I gotta do some geography research. The other thing, I've been up now for 2 days straight. As I mentioned, I was on the Long Island Railroad, was that 12 hours ago? Yeah, it was 12 hours ago. It's about 5 o'clock in the evening now, and I started at about 6 in the morning on the train there, and I was tired then because I hadn't gone to sleep. So, yeah, and since then I've come down to D.C., hung out there a little bit, now I'm on this train, going to grab dinner at 6 o'clock. And then the guy has to come in and turn down your bed. He asks you what time he wants your bed turned down. You can't do it yourself. So he's going to come in at 8 o'clock and turn down my bed. And then I plan on going to sleep that early because when you don't go to sleep the night before, obviously you got to make up for it somehow. And I think this is good because I'll sleep well on the train, and then I'll be in kind of a weird but good schedule. So, probably not going to record anything else tonight because I'm just getting slower and slower. But the next thing you hear, I'll probably be a lot more awake and even more eager than I am right now as I head ever westward. I don't want to talk too loud because it's kind of late at night, but we're here somewhere in Minnesota at a dead stop. We've been stopped for a couple hours now, and the reason we're stopped is because there's a freight train ahead of us that's stuck or broken or something, and they've just been telling us this. Nobody really seems to know what's going to happen. Problem is the in this country, the rail lines are mostly owned by freight companies, and they have control over them, and that also means that if they screw up, well, the passengers have to deal with that as well. But I have to say, even with this happening, it's remarkably tranquil. We're sitting here in the middle of the plane somewhere, and I'm just looking out my window in my room at a half moon rising in the eastern sky. It's simply amazing. All these stars are out. It's just so quiet and peaceful. Certainly no noise of moving trains disturbing the atmosphere. But it's even not moving train travel is really pretty incredible. And just kind of conversing with people as you hang out and go to dinner and just pass people in the hallways, it just feels like we're all in this together, whatever it is that we're going through right now, which basically is a lot of uncertainty because we don't know if this train's ever going to get moving again. But here we are, sitting in the middle of Minnesota, watching the moon come up. It's really cool. If you have to get somewhere in a very set schedule, then yeah, I could see being stressed out by this, but I don't. So I'm perfectly cool sitting here in the middle of God knows where, looking out at the sky. It's amazing. And I don't know what's going to happen. I also heard there was some kind of landslide in, I think, Everett, Washington. There's a landslide of some sort. And that means there might be trouble getting a train through there. Might have to take a bus instead or something. So all kinds of things can happen. It's a big country. All kinds of things can happen. So, I don't know. I might just go to sleep now, or I might watch a movie on my laptop, or I might walk around, explore some other cars. It's all kinds of things one can do when you're on a stalled train in the middle of nowhere. So I really am starting to think this train is cursed. No idea when we're going to be arriving in Seattle or where we're going to be arriving in Seattle. In addition to yesterday's freight train fiasco, where freight train got stuck in front of us, I've found out that there's a landslide in Washington State, and we're going to have to be bused from Everett to Seattle. I found out about this in a weird way. I got a phone call on my cell phone, sitting here in the train car, from a computer at Amtrak, because I had given them my cell phone number for contact info, and it was telling me of a schedule change affecting the train
that I was scheduled to be on, which in fact I was on. So it didn't give me any details, so I didn't know what that meant. And I eventually had to ask a bunch of people to find out that, yeah, in fact, they're going to be bussed. And most people on the train don't know this. They don't know that we're going to be bussed in the last leg of the journey. Actually, it doesn't apply to everybody because half of this train goes to Portland, half goes to Seattle. I think I figured out where they're going to split it. They have a series of coaches, they have sleepers, they have a restaurant car and a dining car, so I guess Portland will get the cafe type car, and we get the better one, which suits me fine. And then today, the third problem, some kind of accident or something at a crossing, that held us up for a few hours. We just passed that a little while ago. I saw a lot of construction workers and looked like a whole big to-do there. So I don't know how far behind we are now. It's ridiculous. The good of it is that I was able to see some places that I probably would have missed otherwise because we were so late. I was able to pass through the Gold Rush type community that Kyle described this spring when he took a train eastbound. That was Minot in North Dakota, I think, was the biggest one. And a couple of other communities along the way, but that's the one we stopped at, and I was able to actually get out and walk around a bit and pick up some local newspapers and just get a feel for the place. And it really is, wow, look at that. Is that a fire? That is a fire. It looks like an entire field is on fire. I'm sure there's a good reason for that. I guess I should take a picture. Hang on. Oh, don't flash. Good God. I swear, by the time digital cameras like figure out where they are, you've missed the shot. That's just ridiculous. It takes 5 seconds to focus and get everything right, and that's an automatic setting. Minot, North Dakota was a really interesting place just to sort of get the feel of, because from what I've heard, and I talked to some people in the train about this, which is another thing, you get to talk to all kinds of people at dinner and various other surroundings. Basically, people from North Dakota, I was asking them about the effect that all this fracking has had on their communities, and it's pretty incredible. Like, populations have increased fivefold in the last 6 or so years. There's too much work. There aren't enough people to do all the jobs that they have. If you work at McDonald's, you get something like $20 an hour. It is the gold rush of the of the 21st century, I guess. Really kind of crazy. And not very good for the environment either, but that's a whole other issue. Got to see that. And then we basically have been sort of plodding our way through North Dakota. I think we're now in Montana now, because we just crossed into the mountain time zone. So now we get another hour of this. It's not going to help. It's not going to help us at all. We must be about, I don't know, we were 3.5 hours late before. Add another couple hours to that, and that's not even taking into account the bus ride, which is bound to add time and stress too, because you got all this stuff. It's good when you're in a room, you can put it down and not worry about it, but on a bus, it's every man for himself, and it's going to get kind of cramped and crazy. Plus, we had it sounds crazy, but we had a wine tasting a couple of hours ago in the dining car. They do these things to keep people amused and pass the time, except we weren't moving at all. In fact, I made a joke that, the engineer's in here, that's why we're not moving. But no, he wasn't. I don't think he was. But in any event, we did that for a while, and I won a bottle of wine by answering a trivia question. Trivia question, by the way, was, who is the only U.S. president to have had a divorce? Yeah, I knew the answer to that. And I'm not going to tell you what it is, because obviously I know, because I've got the bottle of wine. But it's good to learn these things. There are some other ones I didn't get, though. Like, what's black when you buy it, red when you use it, and gray when you throw it out? Yeah, I couldn't figure that one out for the life. It turns out it's charcoal. Yeah. But, I got the better bottle of wine, I think, for the question I answered. Anyway, we're there for a couple hours, not in the wine tasting, but we were at that spot where the wine tasting was taking place. It was really pretty cool. I mean, sitting there at tables and you're looking out over the Badlands of America and just endless prairie and big sky, like they say. You know, even the fact that we weren't moving, it wasn't bad. I mean, you don't take a cross-country train to get somewhere at a moment's notice, you know, even at an hour's notice. But one thing that I do take away from this, in my quest to get high-speed rail throughout this nation, all the problems we faced that have made us so late would not be problems with high-speed rail. You would have, for one thing, the track would not be owned by a freight company, so they couldn't screw things up by having a train get stalled out in front of you. There wouldn't be crossings. High-speed rail, you don't have crossings because it's really high speed and not a good idea. And presumably they'd be built in places that didn't have landslides, but I don't know about that. But in any event, even with all these inconveniences, it still is far preferable than other modes of transportation. So I only hope it gets better. Anyway, the sun is now going down over Montana. It's getting dark again. My third night on a train coming up.
Lost.
I got off the train. I'm in Seattle now. It was a great ride. I'll talk more about that later. But it's December 6th, 2012, and that's a historic day. I didn't mention this before, but it's the day that pot becomes legal in Washington State. It's also the day that gay marriage becomes legal in Washington State. It's a red-letter day in Washington State.
Okay, yeah. As far as the former goes, it's business as usual, in my opinion.
Don't tell anybody.
But don't tell anybody. But basically, yeah, we've got these two monumental things going on, and one of which is the use of recreational pot for adults.
Recreational, not medicinal. Medicinal right, was already.
We've had a very strong medicinal community here in Washington, and really paved the way in many regards, as with California and other states that have been involved in the medical marijuana policy. This is by far and away the biggest leap that movement has undergone, basically in the last year or 6 months.
Above and beyond.
Above and beyond. higher. So anyway, people put it together, and that's what everybody's really, really thrilled about now. Today is that it is now legal, and people have been having various celebrations. I heard that people are at the Space Needle. I think
12:01 they had the first celebration.
Yep.
And there's another one that started at 4:00, and I imagine 4:20 is when that's really going to come to a culmination.
Oh, is it 4:20?
And is it 4:20 now? Is this actually the time?
We're actually running a minute or two behind, but we're all ready to go here.
Actually, my clock will tell. My phone will tell.
I pay a lot of attention to detail.
We're like 10 minutes behind. Look, it's 4:30. But that could be the new 420. But wait. Before anything happens here, all right? We're on the radio, right? I'm from New York. Radio is FCC. Am I breaking any laws by taking what you're holding now in your hand and putting it to my lips and inhaling on the radio?
I don't think they'll be able to tell.
I can't hold it any longer. I don't know what to tell you.
But then again, this is radio, so you don't really know what I'm doing. I could just be saying I'm doing. Give me that. Yes.
Well, you know, it crackles in different ways, right? With marijuana into the microphone. Do you get any crackle on that?
So, anyway, I think to answer your question, okay, because you're not... Because
it wasn't lit.
You're not good, yeah, and...
Well, I'm
you
lit.
You didn't participate... Yeah, there you go. Very funny. But you didn't participate in any process. You simply inhaled the environment around you.
Right.
And you're not bringing it back with you in any real capacity. So I don't think it's interstate transit in any way.
Bat cells. Bring your bat cells.
Doesn't stay there for like 6 months or something?
You have to exercise. You have to go for a bicycle ride. Maybe tall bike ride.
Well, I thought that was assumed.
Yeah. I think that's definitely what's going to have to happen.
But, okay, so it's legal. It means you can have it recreationally, like this is recreation right now.
Yeah.
But you can't have it outside in front of people.
Not in public.
Yeah.
In public.
Public places, it's not allowed.
Is it more lit this time? Because it wasn't that lit last time.
Yeah, don't press down too much. Just put your lips near it and carb it. Get some other air, too. You want a mix of both. There you go. I love telling people how to do stuff. Anyway, we can't be out in public.
Tell me I had to smoke pot on my own show.
Right, I know.
The ultimate insult.
I knew that was coming. God, it's total setup. But anyway,
pasted by the best.
I lost my train of Trent.
I think you figured it out.
So discretion.
Discretion.
Don't be a dick.
Don't be a dick. Is the utmost discretion.
That's what discretion means.
is it?
If you look it up, the Latin roots of discretion. That. Don't be a dick is in there from? Somewhere. Yes.
DCK, discretion.
It starts with the same letter. That's all I need.
Mostly it's about people being responsible and oh, who am I kidding? Having fun. I mean, this is a great day. It's a wonderful thing to celebrate. Responsible.
It is.
Recreational use.
This is the point where you start burning your fingers, so that's where I step out gracefully. Oh, you got a thing. It's a nail clip. A nail clip, they call it.
Well,
was there a different name for it?
Hemostat.
Yeah. So you can kind of.
Oh, you need a hemostat.
Why don't you just use that the whole time? It seems a lot easier.
You can kind of.
If you design something where it moved up automatically.
Oh, they have.
Then people wouldn't have to worry about pressing too hard, like you say. Or We should name this joint. No, because it's a historic joint.
Oh, it's inaugural. This, like, well, Betsy Ross.
It may, I'm not going to say, but it may not be our first, but it's like many people's, not this joint is many people's first, but the symbolism that this joint represents
and
should
the
have
first
a name,
of an right? era. You're, yeah. you're saying it's reigning in, it's bringing in this new era.
What would you call a joint? And, you know, Smokey, Herbie?
I don't know. I rarely name any sort of thing.
And Colorado, too.
Yep.
But they didn't start today. They voted it in the same day, but they haven't started it for, I think, another month.
Yep. And a lot of the reporting I've heard on media out here is basically a cautious and like what we talked
don't
about, discretion. Yeah, don't be a dick. And it's basically saying that it's going to take a year to actually determine, like, where it will be distributed, how people will actually acquire it. And that was the crux of the law
we
as well. Is
Jeff
that you can't grow it, and you can't sell it, and mm-hmm. you can't buy it, but you can possess it. So if it's like it magically appears. I think a lot of people's opinions are, is it like, you know, it's not really all that hard to acquire, especially in a place like Colorado or Washington where there's a fairly mature economy around medical or other sorts of cannabis.
You know, one of the anchors on TV tonight should smoke a joint on the air.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
Like the weather guy outside, yeah. Jeff Renner. Steve
it's not
Poole.
In public.
Steve Poole!
See, even I could know who that is because I can see Seattle TV, but I don't know who that is.
He came to my elementary school.
He's been a weatherman that long?
He's been on there that long, and he does not age. He is,
who's
like,
the guy
wow.
On,
he's brilliant. He's
who's
energetic.
The guy on
he's
Good Morning America.
You think of Al
for
Roker.
Him to die. Yeah, he's
except
waiting for Al Roker.
How did I know that you meant the Today Show when you said Good Morning America? I somehow knew.
That's
you,
weird.
Because nobody knows who the weatherman is on Good Morning America, but they all know Al Roker. He used to be fat, and now he's thin.
Yeah, he had a lactic bypass.
Well-formed stretch.
Well, fantastic. I'm glad we celebrated.
Right.
The name of it should be Sparkling.
Wide awake in someone else's dream. It's difficult at times to know just who you are. It's hard to realize. Someone else's eyes looks just as sad as sad things look to you. And today is only yesterday's tomorrow. Don't be too sure that things are what they seem. Alternatives are hard to find for sorrow. So use your head to muffle all your screams. That's the way.
You've been listening to a special pre-recorded edition of Off the Wall as we traveled by rail to Seattle. Next week, Kyle will take us on a walking tour of that cool part of Seattle known as Georgetown. Until then, this is Emmanuel for Off the Wall. Have a good night.
fooling is yourself. And dreaming gets you nowhere, that's for sure. It's hard to realize, but when you cut life down to size, it's a way to fill up someone else's history book. And today's only yesterday's tomorrow. Don't be too sure that things are what they seem. Alternatives are hard to find for sorrow. So use your head to muffle all your screams. Today is only yesterday's tomorrow. Don't be too sure that things are what they seem. Alternatives are hard to find for sorrow. So use your head to muffle all your screams.